turn you to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, but I'm also going to, in just a few minutes, well, maybe a little bit longer than a few minutes, but I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, so you can mark that place as well if you'd like to. But I want to begin with Romans chapter 8, verse 28. You all probably know what that is just by the scripture reference. How many of you know, even knew before you looked, what that was? Romans 8, 28. All right, several of you did. And that's good. But if you didn't, you're familiar with the scripture. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I've got a couple questions for you before we really get into this. And I want to start with this. Do all things work together for good?
Yeah.
That's a trick question. Do all things work together for good? You're right. All things do work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. But all things don't work together for good. They really don't. There are a lot of things in this world that are not working for good. However, for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose, all things work together for good. That means that when the devil comes out of nowhere and he's trying to beat you down and he's just kicking you around, you feel like, when those things are happening, it doesn't seem that it could possibly be good. But God will turn that for your good. He will. I want you to remember that. We're going to get somewhere today. I feel like as I studied this passage, I feel like the Lord gave me this message earlier, maybe even last week while we were gone. And I felt like the Lord gave me this message, and I began to study it. As I studied it, the Lord began to open up some things to me that I've never seen in it before, and I've never heard anybody really preach from. But I just went by the scripture, and I broke down this verse according to the original language, and God just opened up some things that just kind of blew me away. And I want to share those with you. Before I get there, let me say that we had a great time on vacation. A few days, I was on the phone a whole lot. You all didn't know I was gone, and some of you have thought that maybe I was taking a secret vacation. Well, it's not a secret. I just didn't want you to miss last week. My experience tells me that if the pastor announces from the pulpit that he won't be here, 20 to 30% will not be in the house. So I didn't want to take any chances that you might be part of that 20 or 30%. Surely none of you would do that. But so I just didn't say much about it. We had a good time. And we thank God for the opportunity to get away. And we had a good time as a family. We needed that. And I appreciate the opportunity to do it. But I was glad to get back home as well. It's been a very difficult week, though. There's been a lot going on. Continue to pray for the Tinsley and Brown family. They're under a huge attack right now, it seems. But it's not just them. It's our church as well. And I'm feeling it. I'm feeling this with them. Brother Raymond's a leader, and we love him. He's a good man. He's a great man of God, and we want to continue to lift him up in prayer. The doctors are doing all they know to do, but we know that God is the one who sustains us.
Amen.
I told Sister Karen Ward this morning and Brother Arthur that I heard a preacher preach one time, and if you hear me preach this, you'll know that I got the thought from Brother Brett Johnson down in Texas, but his message was entitled, Live Until God Tells You You Can Die.
Yes.
Live Until God Says You Can Die, is how he said it. And I think we need to get that determination that we're going to live and we're going to flourish and we're going to be productive and we're going to be of value to the kingdom and the devil can like it or he can lump it. But we're going to keep on living. We're going to keep doing this until the Lord says we can go home.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm 54, I think. Somebody asked me this morning. 54. And I'm just getting started.
Amen.
I'm just getting started. As a matter of fact, I believe God has put a grace on me for the next, I don't know how many years. I used to think that I wouldn't live past the early 80s, and I didn't want to. As I get closer to that, I think, well, maybe it wouldn't be so bad to stretch into the 90s. But however long God gives me to live, I am going to serve him to the best of my ability. left in me. And when I go to see him, I want the last thing that comes out of my mouth to be, praise be to God, from whom all blessings flow. He's a good God, church. He fights our battles. He gives us victory. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So all things don't necessarily work for good for everybody.
That's right.
But they do for me.
Amen.
Claim that. Say it. Say it. They do for me. All things work together for my good. Just go ahead and say it.
All things work together for my good.
Amen. Okay. How many of you love the Lord? How many of you, okay, that's good. Hand that back down just for a second. How many of you are the called according to his purpose? Okay, some of you didn't raise your hands back up on that one. You are. I want to show you that. You are the called according to his purpose. Let me just talk to you for just a minute. What does this scripture mean? And I think we all take this, we love it, we look at it, we hold on to it, we believe it to some extent, and then I believe that we kind of lose our hope and our faith in it at some extent as well. But I don't think that we really hold on to it to the fullness of the extent that we should, because this doesn't say that most things work together for good to those that love God and are the call to work in his purpose. It doesn't even say that some things work for good. It doesn't say that almost everything. It says all things. I probably will teach this morning. We'll slow down just a little bit and try to teach this morning, because I have some things that I have to get through to you, that the Word of God, where it's come alive in me, I want to share it with you, and hopefully it'll come alive in you as well. If we really believe this word, if we really believe that all things, let me say it this way, if we really believed it personally, we can believe the Word of God to be true, but we can sometimes think that it's not for me. And I want you to know that this word is for you.
Amen.
I'm going to try to be a little bit interactive this morning and say, this is for me. I receive. This word is true. The word says that about itself that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I want us to know that God has placed the power of his Spirit in his word so that if we will receive it, it can and will come alive in us.
Amen.
Amen. It's powerful. All right. If we really believed this word, we wouldn't fear every little thing that comes our way. I've struggled with fear. How many of you here, by a lifted hand, have struggled with fear? A lot of us. Fear is one of the enemies, I believe, of our faith.
Yes.
I used to say, and I still to some extent believe it, that fear is the opposite of faith. I've heard people say that different things are the opposite of faith. And I understand all those things that I've heard have merit. But I want us to realize that fear is one of those things that stands in opposition to our faith, because fear will keep us believing the report of the devil or the report of the doctor or the report of the bank or the report of whoever else over the report of God. God says, I'm working all things out for your good. Now, sometimes it's behind the scenes and sometimes it's hard to see, but he's still working it out for my good. Amen? Ever been right in the middle of a trial, and maybe it's right now, and you just wondered, how in the world am I ever going to get through this? I don't see any way. And then fear starts to set in and tell you that you'll never make it, you can't do it, you're going to fail, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and we just need to remind ourselves that this is the promise of God. I'll talk more about that in just a minute. But if we really trusted this word, that it was for us, that it was for us personally, we wouldn't fear so much about everything. We would trust God far more in our everyday lives. Talking about everyday life. We pray and we ask God for big things. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We should be asking God for amazing things. We should be asking him for things that we just barely can grasp the faith for. But we sometimes fail to ask him for the little things. And I believe that's how we build our faith. We use our faith in the little times, and then we have faith for bigger things.
Yeah.
But we believe that. I've got a friend, and she might even be watching by Facebook this morning, I don't know, but she used to say, I don't ask God for the little things such as big things to take care of. I want you to know that God is bigger than that.
Amen.
God's able to take care of your big thing and my little thing and 7 billion people's other things that's going on in this world and never miss a beat. Our God is greater than anything you're going through, no matter what the struggle is, no matter how hard the battle is, no matter how big the devil is. My God is greater. Hallelujah. I believe that if we really believe this scripture to be true in our lives, that we would trust God for every little thing, everything that we're going through. Car won't start today. Mine will. I'm just saying this as an example. The car won't start today. Okay, it's okay. It's good. God's working this for my good.
Amen.
I'm going to be late for work because the car won't start. And you might not know it, but you probably heard a song back in the 80s, and I'm not going to go into all those lyrics, but sometimes God's plan will take you out of where you think you should be and take you somewhere that you don't recognize as part of his plan, just so he can watch over you, just so he can protect you. Perhaps a careless car ran out of gas before it came your way. Maybe you were the one that was going to be careless that morning. You might have been looking at your telephone. You might have taken a curve too fast. You might have been at an intersection when somebody else came through. We don't know. We don't understand all that. But God works all things for good to them that love him and are the called according to his purpose. I believe also that we would know by faith that God will take care of the thing that comes by our way if we would just trust this scripture. I believe that this word is full of so many good things that would tell us that God's got everything in control. But if we would just take this one scripture and really make it our own, it would change our lives. I really believe it would change our lives. I believe that we would also realize that our eternal good far outweighs the bad that we face in the present.
Yes.
I'm weighing, trying to figure out whether I should say what's on my heart. We go through difficult situations. We go through hard times. But it has not taken God by surprise.
Amen.
God was aware of it before you got there. And sometimes it's hard to know that God knew that this was coming and he didn't do anything to stop it. Because God has the power to change things. But God knows. He sees it all from a different perspective. And God is looking at our internal future. God is looking at eternity. And we're looking at the temporary. We're looking at the present. And whatever it is that we're going through, I'm just here to tell you that God already knows how you can and will be, by faith, be victorious over the struggle, over this battle that you're going through. I'm telling you that God already has this.
Amen.
Marty, I'm going to hold this to the side as best I can so it doesn't pop on me. I hear all that. It's my fault. The most difficult things in our lives, even then, they're working toward our greater good. Let me read this. The Apostle Paul says, is this the Apostle Paul? Is it where we at? Yes, Romans, it is. The Apostle says, we know that all things work together. I'm going to break this down for you. For good, to them that love God, to them that are called, according to his purpose. What I want you to see here first is that the Apostle Paul is saying this in faith. First of all, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith is not just hoping that something will come to pass, but faith is knowing that it is true or that it will come to pass because God said it.
Yes.
We can trust God's word and we can trust God's character.
Yes.
He never, God is not a man that he should lie. He never lies to us. Whatever his word says is true.
Amen.
God is not one who would run out of power and fail us. If he said it, he will do it.
Amen.
If he purposed it, he'll bring it to pass.
Amen.
He will. He's not going to fail us. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to fail on his word. We need to trust God. We need to know that God is victorious and that he will work these things out in our good. And the Apostle Paul says, we know. In other words, he's saying we are completely convinced of the fact.
Yes. Yes.
where we fall short. We can go on to say that all things work together for good to them who love God and are the called according to his purpose, but if we don't know it, we can say it, we can trust it, we can believe it, that it's true in general, but if I don't know that it's true for me, if I don't get a hold of this for me, I will do without it. Come on now, that's true. I'll do without it if I won't take a hold of it for myself. I'm going to pause right here and say something that I had in my notes for way later in the message. We have so many promises of God, and those promises are not just going to happen to us unless we take hold of them by faith. And some of us don't realize that. We just think because God said it and it's a promise that it's just going to happen in my life. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But the condition is that we have to believe upon Jesus Christ. And every promise of God, just about every one of them, comes with a condition. We have to trust him for it. We have to believe him for it. We have to hold on to it.
Amen.
So I think that this is a confession of faith here, the Apostle Paul. We need to get a hold of this. We need to be completely convinced of the fact that all things work together for good to believe. Let me read that second part. We know that all things work together. Now, I made some notes yesterday. I read this to Tracy, and she said, "Interesting what you've chosen here. The Word tells us that everything, all things, that's everything.
Yes.
Not just some things, everything. The things that are, the things that will be, the things that have already happened, the things we learn, the things that we don't know and won't learn, every single thing works together for good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose." You mean the thing that I did that was so stupid is working for my good? Well, God didn't want you to do that stupid thing. But God is bigger than my own mistakes.
Amen.
Sometimes we think that because somebody's in a mess and they got themselves there, that God's not going to come to the rescue. We like to think that when we're in a mess and we caused it, God will come to my rescue. But somebody else is in a mess and God won't come to their rescue. I'm here to tell you that God can see beyond all of your faults and failures and all of your mess ups. And no matter where you have found yourself, if you will come to him, he's willing to come to you. And God can redeem those mistakes, and he can turn around and he can make them the best thing that has ever happened to you, because all things work together for good to them who have God and are the calling to his purpose. God can take my stupid mistakes of the past. God can take that 16 years that I ran from my calling to preach, and he can turn it for good.
Yes.
You say, how can he do that? Who knows? I don't know. I don't understand everything. But perhaps because of the 16 years that I didn't do what I believed God wanted me to do, now my preaching and my service to him is more passionate. Who knows? But I'm as passionate as I know how to be. I don't hold back. I tell you what I feel like God is saying, and I love him, and I go after him with all my heart. But if I had begun to preach just nonchalantly, maybe I wouldn't. But I've missed 16 years of serving God to the capacity that he wanted me to serve him to. And now I'm running after him. And I'm telling you, God can take those faults and those failures and those mistakes, and he can make something good. Amen. Amen. All things. We know all things work together. We're good. Every single thing. I'm going to pause right there. I'm not done with that yet. Every single thing. Somebody called you a name. God's working into your good.
Amen.
They laid you off at your job. God's working into your good.
Amen.
Let me, Tracy hates it when I tell this story, I'm sure, but I got to tell it. Let me tell you how God worked all things for my good. I was running from my calling. Been running from my call to preach for a long time. I was engaged to a young lady. I worked at tabular dealer in Kentucky, Wayne Supply, one of the largest in the nation. And at one point, I was answering all the calls at night for all of Kentucky and southern Indiana. And I moved from the parts counter all the way up to rental and into sales. And I'm just telling you that I was on a track. I started out as a janitor and I worked my way through the parts department, and I was on my way up and things were looking good. But I want you to understand that sometimes we have our focus on the wrong things.
Yeah.
And I was engaged to Kim's best friend at the time. I'll throw that in. Never told her, I don't think, with her in the room. But anyway, back to my point. I was working there. I thought I had my future planned out. I'd asked God for this, 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 and this, and it seemed like it was all lined up. I had a brand new car. I had a motorcycle. I had a step-side Chevy pickup truck. It was beautiful. I had everything that I wanted. I had plenty of money in my pocket every time I went anywhere. I had everything that I wanted, but I didn't have what God wanted for me. And I thought I was on top of the world. I really did at that point. And God kept dealing with me, and He was really, really pushing me to accept His call in my life. And I just said, no, I'm going to serve You my way, and I want you to know you can't serve God your way.
Amen. Amen.
Serve God His way.
Amen.
See, this says to those who love Him and are the called according to, ain't even there yet, but His purpose. So, one day, God just pulled back all of His favor, all of His extra blessings upon me. He just, because I was in disobedience, He just started withdrawing. Within a two-week period, didn't give me back the engagement ring, she threw the engagement ring at me. I got laid off from my job. I wrecked my truck. I wrecked my motorcycle into my car. Everything was falling apart. Everything was falling apart. But guess what? That was working for my good.
Amen.
That was working for my good. Because I was out of the will of God. I was not near to the Lord. I still called myself a Christian. I still loved Him. I thought I did. The Word of God tells us, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus said that. But I wasn't keeping what He had instructed me to do. I was trying to do things my own way. I don't guess in God's perspective I even really loved Him. I thought I did. But I was in a backslidden condition. I was lukewarm. I was going the wrong way. And God stripped away all the comforts that He had given me. And He pulled me back to Him. I became so worried that everything else would be stripped. I began to pray. And I said, God, I'm sorry. Whatever You want from me, Lord, make it clear to me. I still didn't accept the call to preach right away. But I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm here. What are You doing? What are You saying? I'm sorry. Don't take my family. Don't let me lose the ones that I love. Don't take their life. Don't do something even worse. And I began to seek Him and I began to turn back to Him. I drove around for a long period of time with a dent in my car that I had made with my motorcycle, and the light busted out of my motorcycle, and the gas tank was dented, and the front bumper of my truck was all messed up. Had that engagement ring, not knowing what to do with it, trying to think that maybe God would let us get back together, but none of that was really where God wanted to take me. And so I ended up, we had 9 months that we could be off work before we lost our seniority. 9 months and 3 days later, this lost my seniority by 3 days. 9 months and I had 9 years already in. 9 months and 3 days later, they called me back to work if I wanted it in Hazard, Kentucky. Guess who lived in Hazard, Kentucky? Right. I met Tracy. I was guarded because I'd been through some pain. I met her and I fell in love. God joined us together. We got married. The Lord started to bless us in a lot of different ways. I began to sing and travel. And the Lord was all of a sudden beginning to speak to me again. You've got to do what I've called you to do. Our pastor in, I'm off my notes. I may have to preach part of this next week. Pastor in Highland, Kentucky, just a little area outside Hazard, said, the Lord came to me and told me that I had to tell you something. And I said, this is him speaking. I said, what is it, Lord? And the Lord said, tell him to preach. I've called him to preach. He's got to step into that call. And he came to me. He told me the whole story. He said, I fought this. He said, God tells me, God has told me that I have to come to you and tell you it's time, you've got to preach. And he said, I even told the Lord, I can't tell him that. You tell him that. That's your job to tell him that. Any of you know Johnny Childers? I know you do. He's a character. He said, I told God, I can't tell him that. You tell him that. And he said, God spoke to me. I told him he won't listen to me. So go tell him that I said it. I'm ashamed of that. But I finally accepted my call to preach. It was just before Lindsay was born. 3 weeks, I believe, before Lindsay was born. The next week, Tracy ended up in a head-on collision. Lindsay was still in her womb. They didn't know if the baby would make it. Everything was fine. Surprisingly, everything was fine. The car was totaled. Tracy was fine. Lindsay was fine. Same time frame. I was stung with a wasp, went into anaphylactic shock, almost died. See, there's a lot of things happening here. We're talking about a 3-year span here. There's a lot of things happening. First of all, God took some things away from me, and then the devil tried to take some things away from me. But I want you to understand that everything that the devil tried to take, God said, no, you can't have. But everything that I thought that I needed to have, God said, no, you can't have. God's the one in control. God's the one in charge. But he's working all things together for my good. Yes. Tracy went through that accident. She was fine. Praise God. Lindsay was fine. 1 week later, I was stung. Almost died. The doctor came in and told me. He said, I have seen corpses that look better than you. He had a very strong accent, and he said, you need to thank God that you're alive. He said, there's nothing that I could have done to save you, but God has extended your limits. And I said, I have been. From the moment I woke up, and I had been unconscious for a while, the moment I woke up, it was 5 till 9. I began to praise God. 5 till 10, I praised God. 5 till 11, I praised God all night long. I began to do things for God that I had only dreamed about. I wasn't afraid of people anymore. I wasn't afraid to witness. I wasn't afraid to be bold. I was walking down the street in Hazard, Kentucky, and God said, there's somebody walking parallel to you on the other side of the street. And I looked, and there they were. He said, go over there and talk to them. Witness to them for me. And I stepped right out across the street, jaywalking, and went right on over there, and I began to tell them about Jesus Christ. I walked up to a little dairy bar. I was standing at the window, and God says, tell this young lady that I love her. She doesn't know it. And I said, God loves you. And she looked at me so funny. And I said, God loves you. And he told me to come here and to tell you that he loves you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you think that he has forgotten you or he has abandoned you, he said he loves you. And she began to bawl. And all of her workers standing around her, and I'm beginning to think, oh, I'm sorry, I made her cry. She said, I needed to hear that so badly. She said, I'm going to church this weekend. My sister has been begging me to, and I wouldn't commit to it, but I'm going. Thank you. Even while I was still there in the hospital, they put me in a room. You know how the ER is, and they'll have bays. Well, they were overcrowded, and they had a bay that had a curtain down the middle, and they had me on one side and had another man on another side, and I began to talk to him. they moved the curtain, and we sat there and we talked together. I sat there, he laid there. We talked together, and I talked to him about Jesus Christ, and I began to tell him what all God had done for me and how great God is and how wonderful his love is. And he began to cry, and he said, I want to know him. And I led him to the Lord there, not in the ER. This was actually in critical care unit. I led him to the Lord right there. He began to tell me his story. He said, I only have 14% of my heart. They say that I won't make it. I don't know if he made it or not, but he gave his heart to the Lord that night. And I thank God for boldness to step out and do what he's called me to do. And we were at a church, and we were singing, and I heard the presence of the Lord pulling me again to just accept that calling. Say you'll do it. I was so hesitant. Couldn't do it. Somebody began to speak in tongues and give the interpretation. And the Lord said, I have called and I have called and I have called. You've not responded. And I'm thinking to myself, I have responded, but he's saying you've not responded. But I know he's talking to me because I've not been fully obedient. And I said, Lord, I will do anything that you call me to do. I'll do everything that you call me to do. And I started that night claiming that I was called to preach, and I didn't want to. Had lots of reasons I didn't want to. Dad's a preacher. A bunch of uncles are preachers on both sides. My grandpa was a preacher. It's just what our family does. I didn't want to be in the family business, so to speak. I didn't want people to think that I was just doing this because somebody else did it. But I had to be obedient to the call of God. I finally gave in. I'm ashamed that it was 16 years later, but I finally gave in. I gave my heart fully to him. I thought I had given it to him when I was a child, and I gave my heart to the Lord, but I was holding things back. I finally gave my heart fully to him and began to do everything that he had called me to do. And I said to him, Lord, if you'll open the doors, I'll preach. But I'm not going to go out and look for any opportunities. Was it a week? Maybe two. I don't remember, but a pastor from Vico Church of God called me, and he said, Brother, he said, the Lord laid you on my heart. And he said, I don't even know of you preaching, but the Lord tells me to have you come preach our youth service. Will you do that? I said, I will. I hung up the phone and had a panic attack. I asked Tracy, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? She said, you just do your best. God will honor it. And I went and I spoke for about 10 minutes. I can do a whole lot more than that now, as you know. I spoke for about 10 minutes, and while I was in there, someone took a ball bat and busted the windows out of the back window out of our van. It's okay. Kept going. The Lord kept opening the doors. I told him, whatever doors you open, I'll walk through. Why I'm telling this testimony, I don't know. I've never went into all these details here, but I felt like I needed to do it. And I'll come back to these notes and finish it next week if I have to. But I committed myself to God, and I said, I'll do whatever you have called me to do. I'll do it, God. I submitted to his will. The Lord began to open doors. I began to preach. We continued to sing. Sometimes I would preach, and sometimes a friend of mine, Brother Bert Baker, would preach, and he would travel and we would sing in the group mission. And we'd go places, and I'd get the opportunity to preach there. But when we weren't traveling and singing, I'd preach where my dad was pastor. I'd preach every opportunity that I had. And finally, one day, they called me and they said, we're having a gospel music festival here in Hazard, Kentucky, and we're going to bring in some big names in contemporary Christian, and we're looking for a speaker, and the Lord has laid you on the committee's heart. And I thought, somebody has missed God here. I really did. I thought, they missed God here. And I said, I can't do that. And then I remember God reminded me, you said you'd walk through the doors that I opened. I said, can I pray about it? They said, yes, you can pray about it. So I said, let me take a week or two and pray about it. They said, that's fine. Prayed about it a day or two. The Lord said, you've got to do this. I've opened this door for you. So I called back and I committed to it. And then they told me, we're expecting around 6,000 people. worried. I was so nervous. God, I can't do it. I can't do this. I don't have any experience in that. I'm not a speaker that's spoken to probably more than, at that time, 20 or 30 at a time. I can't do this. What are you doing to me? And I got on my face before him and I cried out, and finally I felt the impression of the Lord. I felt him tell me to begin to fast and pray. And I began to take this serious, and I knelt on my knees and I spent time in prayer. And I got a calendar out and I looked, and we were, I can't remember, but maybe 3 months out or something like that. And so I began to, I worked out on the calendar how much I was going to fast here and there. And as I got closer, I'd fast more, but I needed some time to have some strength back. So I'd stop my fast here, and then I'd fast a meal or two just before. And I began to, I worked out a whole regimen. I understand that it's not about the legalism of it, but I wanted God to know I'm serious about this and I'm coming after you. And God, I'm going to meet with you if you will meet with me. And His Word tells us, I'm just preaching from my heart right now. His Word tells us that if we will seek Him with our whole heart, we'll find Him. And I remember finding Him in that bedroom with the music playing and listening to worship. And I was seeking God and I was praying and I was asking Him, God, what are you doing here? And He began to speak to me what He was doing. He began to tell me that when you walk on that stage, there will be an anointing for you for that day. And you don't have to worry. The Word reminded me of when I was 14 years old. It said, be not afraid of their faces, from Jeremiah. Be not afraid of their faces, for you shall go to who I send you, and you will be a prophet to the nations. And I believe that God was speaking to me, and He was giving me opportunity, part of it, to see if I'd be obedient to Him. But in all of that, He was working things for my good.
Called me to, but God, I have to have your blessing on my life. I have to have your
things work together. Good things, bad things, trying things, all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, I don't have time to preach some messages because I've got a lot of good stuff. I'm not going to preach it all today. I'm just going to go ahead and plan to do the rest of it next week. I have a couple things I need to tell you. If you love God, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love God, and if you are called according to His purpose, I told you I would tell you about that, and I can't go into the depths of it that I want to. I'll share the rest of this next week. But called here means appointed. If you're called of God, it says, to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You are the appointed one for the purpose of God. I want you to know that that any of us who have accepted the call of Jesus Christ in our life and have believed on Him as our Lord and Savior, I'm going to go into more detail and tell you more next week, Lord willing, but you are the called. You are appointed to be His disciples. If you love God and you're the called according to His purpose, whatever you're going through, whatever you will go through is working for you. I was just talking to somebody and they said, I mentioned the scripture and they said, I can't see anything good in this. I agree with them. I can't see it either. See, my perspective is clouded. So is theirs. From where I'm standing right here, I can see better without the glasses, but from where I'm standing right here, I can see the colors in this rug up here. Can I use you as an example? Yes? Just say yes. I won't embarrass you. You all can't see what I can see. Jordan just leaned forward and changed her perspective. She couldn't see it either, but she leaned forward and changed her perspective. God is looking at your life from a perspective that you can't see, but we have to change our perspective to see things the way that He sees it. God is working everything for your good. Everything. You say, how can this be for my good? I'm hurting. I'm broken. I don't know. I can't see it like God does. But He's willing to show you His perspective if you'll just scoot up close to Him and let Him. There is a sweet presence of God in this house right now that's just about overpowering. And God is wanting to minister to somebody right now. I know that. Somebody's broken. And you say, I don't know how all of that junk that I've been through, or what I'm going through right now, or what I even have ahead of me that I can see coming. I don't know how it can be working for my good. It doesn't matter if we can see how or not. God sees how. Amen. And He's working it on your behalf. If you love Him.
Yes.
And if you are the called according to His purpose. If you are appointed by Him as a disciple. That means you have believed on Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord.